The Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter mile radius.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Two douchebags and a microphone.
We talk Kansas.
I smell bacon! No, wait, it's just Mark sweating. And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
You know, musically, there was cassette tapes. It had an A and a B. So no wonder the next evolution would be a CD.
Your mama's so fat. When she went out to the pier, people tried to board her.
Hey there, fuckstick. You're just in time for brand new feature news nobody gives a shit about.
A California girl just got a license to carry a unicorn.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
So, if I have a glass of ice water, and the ice melts into the water, is my water then watered down? I may never know.
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
All right. Thanks for joining us tonight. Anyhow, Rob, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. I had kind of a quiet day. Got a little work done on the podcast and got a couple other things done. So, yeah, it's been a pretty productive day.
Good. Good.
Even though I woke up at 5:15 this morning for no reason.
Well, I didn't tell you this our pre-talk, but I woke up early too. The storms had already passed us by then, so I didn't wake up because of the storms like you. They're already past us, but I just woke up early and I did a little podcast work myself too. That's interesting that we both did that.
Yeah.
You know, I got in here.
The storm was still rolling through when I woke up, so I actually got to sit and watch it for a
while. Oh, okay. It was done here about 5 a.m. About 5 a.m., they were all gone and to the east side, probably approaching Warrensburg-ish, something like that, the other side of Lee's Summit type of thing. So there were still storms, per se, in some of the extreme Kansas City metro, but for the most part, we're all done. The Kansas part was definitely done. We were done, you know. But I just woke up, and I was like, you know what? I'm awake. And I don't want to fall back to sleep and then have to get back up again all over and I'll feel like shit. So I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go get some podcast stuff done. And that's what we're getting ready to get into here real quick. Okay, I pointed out to you earlier, I sent you that text that said Columbus, Ohio is one of our best markets just out of nowhere. I mean, we always done well there, but you guys just exploded with us. And we'd like to send out a thank you, just like we did to Boardman, Oregon. Columbus, Ohio is our second most popular city listenership next to Boardman, Oregon. You guys are
third.
Oh, well, Purdue, Canada is sandwiched in.
Yeah.
Yeah, Purdue, I said in America.
Still in third, Columbus is fourth.
Yeah, I was made in America. But yeah. Oh. Overall, you're third, yes. Purdue, Canada is still second, and Boardman is first. And then Columbus, Ohio, out of nowhere, just like came in and.
And boom.
Yeah, boom. And anyhow, and it's a really, this is really, to me, it is really an honor because it's my understanding, I've known some people from Columbus, they have really good radio in Columbus, Ohio. A lot of local talent that's really good. And what the show we do here, I think, is more of something that will compete with a radio show than the average podcast of ghosts or supernatural or weird. You know what I mean? This is more, to me, like more of a old-fashioned, and this is the way we want it to be, too. This is what we're trying for.
Yeah.
An old-fashioned morning show, only we could say fuck, cocksucker, all this stuff, right? We can say all that stuff. They couldn't, of course. You know, they had to either beep out or go around it, you know, and stuff like that. So this is kind of like us. This is kind of like our tribute to morning radio that has been lost, in our opinion. It's just not around anymore. And, you know, the radio powers that be have squashed it, kicked it, smashed it into nothing. The art is gone now, and you'll be hard to find anything that's really that good. I mean, Johnny Dare is still good in Kansas City. I mean, he's still, you know, he's still pretty risque. He's still funny. Greg, his producer, still does some really good skits. They're still pretty good, and they're probably, of the morning shows that are still left around, he is probably one of the better ones. I still listen to Bubba the Love Sponge, too, like I'd said. And he's still good, too. He changed his program so far around. I mean, it's not anything of what it used to be, like Shocking the Puss and whatever, you know, fucking anal expansion, all that stuff. A lot of that stuff I didn't really care for, but he doesn't do anything like that, you know. He's got like a doctor on his show and a lawyer on his show, and he's like really calmed down.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, there's still Bob and Tom, but Bob and Tom is theatrical, right? You know, they're more, and we do it too. We do skits and stuff, but we really like our just kind of live programming where we're just talking like this. And but you know, Bob and Tom's good. Tom's not there. Well, Bob isn't there anymore. Bob Kevorkian has retired after they went into the Radio Hall of Fame, I believe. And now it's a different Bob. It's like, I don't know, some new Bob and Tom. It's even not the same either. But still, they still do what they normally did before, you know. Which isn't, you know, they were never cutting edge. They were kind of like safer. But you know what? I mean, you know, they still do a pretty decent job too. I'll listen to them every now and then, and I can listen to them for about 40 minutes, and then that's it, you know. And to me, any more Stern is unlistenable. He is just fucking horrible. I never was a huge fan of his. Always thought he was kind of a pompous asshole. But, his show used to have parts that were really good, like Captain Jenks and Stuttering John and whoever else. You know, there are a lot of different characters on there. Sal. His show was good because he had strong characters on his show. But now he's just like, he's gotten all political. And in my opinion, he's just a nut. Anyhow, he is exactly like Nikki Sixx, I said. They are the exact people they used to make fun of and say they would never be. So, I don't like that. I call that a sellout. So, anyhow, thank you, Columbus. I don't know why I went on that tirade, but because our show is more of a morning show. So, anyhow, let's see. So, something weird phenomena happened in Kansas City last night. Okay. This doesn't happen very often. It's very rare, but we had surface winds that were in excess of 80 miles an hour, non-severe. There's still a storm system coming in from the north, and there's one coming in from the south. And we got in on a little of the south action, which was pretty strong to severe. And then the ones from the north was like a huge line with a bow echo line, where it means the winds are like really strong at the first of the storm. And so without that being here yet and not really any storms, Independence, they clocked at 82 mile an hour. So this is weird. Okay, we had 70 to 82 mile an hour winds before the storm. When the severe storm got here, it actually lowered the wind gust to 65. Isn't that odd?
Wow.
Yeah. So we had 82 mile an hour wind until the severe storm showed up, and then it took it down to 65. So, Mother Nature, I'm sorry, okay? I took you out of the ass paddling. I'm sorry. It won't ever happen again. I throw myself at your mercy, Mother Nature. It was me. I'm sorry. I don't know I don't know what else to do, Rob. We made her mad.
Well, you told me you heard that there was a tornado north of me and a tornado south of me.
Yes.
At like 5:45, 6 o'clock this morning, I was sitting outside smoking a cigarette. I heard what I thought was a train, and there is no train around here.
Well, then that was probably a tornado, because they're having some problems. They haven't really addressed it per se. But remember, we had four tornadoes not quite a week ago. I think it was last Sunday night in Kansas City. There was no report of them at all that night. They found out the next day when the National Weather Service went out there and they said, no, this was an EF1 and this was an EF0 or whatever. So there was actually four tornadoes in the Kansas City area, but they did not call one of them. No sirens, no alerts, nothing. They just said that it was just, you know, severe thunderstorms, but definitely no tornadoes. There was four of them that night, and they found out about the next day. And this has been happening everywhere, where they're just missing them on the radar. So something is going on with radar, cyber terrorism. I don't know. You know, like I was talking about the Kansas City, the whole system getting locked up for ransomware. There's something going on with the radar that they're not as effective on indicating these wind velocities like they used to be. So I don't know. We're going to see if it gets like it used to be. It used to be they were able to detect it right when it about started, right? And they're going, okay. And then they break in and they start showing the winds. The winds on radar are different colored, okay? So they'd show a blue and a red and a green really tight in one area, and they go, as you can see, this is this speed, this wind's this speed, and it's all in this tight area, so this would have to be a rotating cloud, right? So they don't know if it's actually on the ground or not, but they have to call it a tornado warning, because it is capable, if it's not producing one or a funnel cloud, it's capable of doing it at any time. So they have to call a tornado warning. And they would be able to spot them right when they happen, and they'd break in and go, hey, you know what? This is so-and-so from Storm Jack 5 or whatever, okay? So Storm Jack 5 would go, all right, and this one is right over Mission, as you can see. If you're at the mall, take cover. If you're here, you know, them missing that four the other night, and then they missed a couple down, a little bit north of our friends in Montrose. They've been getting hammered pretty good this year.
They have been.
Yeah, especially at EF1000 with, I think it's 1,000-mile winds and 5 miles long.
Yeah.
It wiped out their own grain silo. And we should do a moment of silence for that. Hang on. Here we go. Okay, we all had time to reflect on the grain silo. Okay. And Rob, coincidentally, is in charge of getting another one for him. Have you had any luck?
They keep blowing over.
There you go, Montrose.
Yeah, there's a shortage on grain silos right now.
Especially this damn year.
All these damn storms, north of us and south of us, are going pretty much around.
Yeah, and they've been, the boot of God has been kicking the shit out of Montrose all year. So anyhow, all right.
That's
so
the ones running north of me.
Yeah. Montrose is to the north. So there you go. Okay. So that was an interesting phenomenon that never happens. Hardly. It happened before around Kansas City a long time ago. I remember a little bit about it, and it's so odd that you can get 82 mile an hour wind non-severe. Then a severe storm that they have to call comes in, and they go, there's a severe storm, but it actually lowers the wind speeds. Insane. So, anyhow, I'm going to go on to more of our first third now. That wasn't even on it, but we had to address all that stuff here real quick. We talked about it. Okay, Kellogg's is recalling boxes of its new chocolate cornflakes due to concerns they contain hard lumps that could cause damage to teeth and be a choking hazard. The cereal brand has asked people who bought the packs to dispose of them as a precaution after the problem was discovered, and you get a full refund at the retailer that you bought it, but they tell you to throw it away, and then you go find your bill, and then you get your money back for it, okay? But coincidentally, the NFL has decided to do that with the Dallas Cowboys. They determined they're a choking hazard, too.
I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a choking hazard. All right. So anyhow, the NFL said if you have any Cowboys gear, you're instructed to burn it, allegedly, and they will reimburse you because they are a choking hazard, too. So.
Sorry, Mike.
Who's Mike?
Buddy I work with.
Oh, is he a Cowboy fan?
Yeah, he's originally from Texas.
Okay, all right. Hey, Mike, we love you. Just jokes.
We give him hell all the time.
Okay. One of the funniest signs I ever seen, coincidentally, was AT&T Stadium in Irving, Texas. Remember when the Dicks Out for Harambe phenomenon was going on?
Yeah.
Okay. A couple of people in that stadium used to have Dicks Out for Harambe. For Dak Prescott, his first year, his rookie year. And I just thought it was brilliant. Dak's out for Harambe. And anyone that knew. Okay? And, you know, it was one of the stories that, like, people knew about it, but not everybody knew about it. It originated on the Weather Channel, I believe. I think this is the first one. But in colleges, it began organically, I guess, when Harambe was killed because that stupid fucking Karen was on her phone and didn't watch her little fucking snot-nosed brat. So instead of shooting her like they should have, they shot the gorilla. So there was college kids that were running around naked and screamed, "Dicks out for Harambe." And this happened on the Weather Channel. They're doing a hurricane report. And you know how they got the chick there and the wind's blowing. Whether the wind's blowing or not, they're going to show you that it's blowing. And whether they got big fans or whatever. Okay, so they're down there being dramatic. And the winds right now are 110 and we can barely stand up, you know, and all that shit. Well, a group of college kids come running by naked. And this is on the Weather Channel. And it was live. And they're screaming, "Dicks out for Harambe." So that is how it originated. So anyhow, that Dak's out for Harambe was brilliant, and they quit showing it after a while because I don't think they knew what it meant at first. And then I think someone probably went up and said, "Do you guys know what that actually means?" Like, "I don't know. No, why?" And then they told me. I think they're like, "Okay, don't show that anymore." So so we move right along here. Nashville, Tennessee, there were numerous power outages. Was this severe weather? No. Was it vandalism? Nope. Well, then what the hell was it? The Russians? Demand too high? The grid collapse? Nada. It was some curious snakes that made their way into the Henpeck substation in Franklin, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yep. And they took power out to thousands of people. I mean, the snakes are no more. They were fried pretty bad. But they were having a problem. The snakes were getting into there for some reason and shorting out the circuitry. So, anyhow, I don't know if it's still going on, but it was going on for a while. And, you know, those poor little snakes didn't make it. And there's a lot of people without power because of those poor little snakes that chose to commit suicide via the power grid. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so anyhow. Well, okay.
Well, if you think about it, they probably went there because it was warm.
You know what? You're right, Rob. Because they
all
sun.
The components being warmed up, yeah.
When I was younger and a child, we did move to Arkansas for a year. And the thing that I found out that I had no idea is copperheads and water moccasins both love to sun themselves on this sun porch. They love concrete. and they would lie there in the sun because they are cold-blooded creatures, right? And I would walk out and go, oh, shit. One time we had a water moccasin and a cottonhead right next to, or not a cottonhead, cottonmouth water moccasin and a copperhead right next to each other on our porch. And I was like, oh, shit. So I go in. I'm like, Dad, there's a couple snakes out there. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, shit. So he go get the hoe and he, you know, chop the head off of them, of course. So so they love to sun themselves. You're right. And I remember that. It used to scare the shit out of me because I was just a little turd. And anyhow, I did not like them sunning on our patio because that meant that I had to stay indoors until someone killed it because I was too much of a chicken shit at that age. So... okay. Next. Okay, there's this, there's a, as part of the Melanoma Awareness Month, Neutrogena developed a one-of-a-kind survey aimed at discovering sun habits of Gen Z. 28% of Gen Z said that tanning was more important than possible skin cancer. Many prioritized tan skin over sunscreen at an 80% ratio. 71% said that being outside, such as a beach or a pool, was very important to them. Well, I would agree with that. 69% said they prefer a job outdoors as well. Now, that's a big shift. I know that they have a weird philosophy about they chose to maybe get skin cancer and be out in the sun without sunscreen. Yeah, that's a little odd. But think about this. Our generations, it was to strive to be indoors, right? The outdoor jobs were usually hell. You know, you're like digging a ditch or something. Gen Z would rather, almost 70% would rather be outdoors working. That's a big shift.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. I don't know why that is. It doesn't go into that in this article. But 69%, almost 70% prefer a job outdoors as well. Now maybe their multiple face tattoos will fade in the sun. We can only hope.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
It could be.
I could find that a really good, useful tool then, you know. So.
I could too.
Yep. Duncan has come out with a new 40-ounce Wicked Large tumbler. It retails for just under... you'll see why I said that. It retails for just under $40, inspired by the famous New England accent. So now young'uns can spend $40 on a glorified mug and remember to call it Large. It is stupid. They spell it A-A-A-A-H-H-H-G. So, anyhow, so, you know, young'uns can pick up a glorified mug for $40. It's almost as much as a Venti Frappuccino at Starbucks. Remember to offer to ask for coffee base. Otherwise, it's pretty much a milkshake, right?
Yeah.
It cracks me up. I see people order at Starbucks, and they don't order coffee base Frappuccino. That's a shake. Why don't you go to Andy's and get a better one? You know, for less money. I'm sorry, man. You know, I'm not going to order any type of Frappuccino from Starbucks unless there's a lot of coffee in that son of a bitch. If not, it's counterproductive. So.
Right.
Yeah. And it costs about as much as a large Dunkin'. So anyhow. And you know what? I'm almost tempted to go buy one just so I can say that 5 or 6 times really loud in the Dunkin'.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
I probably won't, though. Okay. Let's see. Well, Memorial Day is tomorrow, right? So everyone be safe and remember the brave men and women that fought for the right to buy a $40 tumbler or get skin cancer. Remember those.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, you would not be getting skin cancer like you wish, and you would not be getting a large 40-ounce tumbler if it wasn't for these fine men and women that served and fought for our freedom. So remember that tomorrow when you're drinking your fucking mocha latte and scratching your nuts or vagina. So, all right. So if you see or know a vet, just go thank him. That small gesture means so much. And I know this to be true because I know veterans, and they don't want money. They don't want you to go, you know, they don't want worship or praise. A simple thank you means everything to them. So if you get a chance, just do it. It doesn't hurt you at all. So anyhow, just something to think about. Mars has revealed its 2024 Halloween candy lineup. All right, Rob, are you ready for these?
I don't know. But yeah, go ahead.
They're actually pretty good, Rob. M&M's milk. M&M's milk chocolate pumpkin pie. Yeah.
Alright.
I mean, look, I'm not really a pumpkin spice fan, but this is pumpkin pie and a chocolate M&M. That's completely different.
Right.
Now, if it was,
that's two totally different things.
Yeah, if it was pumpkin spice M&M, I'd vomit on them because I'm so sick of pumpkin spice. As a matter of fact, didn't pumpkin spice get a couple of ass paddlings?
Yeah.
And anyone that buys it, okay, all right, so... okay.
Yeah, but pies are in a totally different flavor.
Yes, pumpkin pie tastes completely different. It's not that cheap spice shit. So anyhow. Okay, so how about a Twix Ghoulish Green Ghouls in milk chocolate? It's greenish ghouls, is what they call it. So I guess it's a ghoul looking. There wasn't a picture, so I guess it's Twix. This is what I gather from the article. This is a Twix that is in the shape of a ghoul, and it's green. But it's Twix.
But it tastes like chocolate.
Yes. So there you go. You can't beat that either, can you?
I could see that being kind of popular.
Yeah. You cannot beat that with a hammer. I'm telling you. So, of course, and finally, we cannot leave out the pumpkin pie Snickers. Yeah?
Alright.
Yeah, I'm on board. Pumpkin pie Snickers to help future amputees due to diabetes infection. Also, in a related story, Levi's has come out with elastic band slacks just for Halloween. You're welcome. So either way, that band will stretch. All right, and moving right on. Independent presidential candidate RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., said in a 2012 interview that a parasite had eaten part of his brain. Eventually, the parasite, you know, I mean, evidently, the parasite was on a diet. So tell me, did Congress possibly catch this as well? And the parasite, you know... I think you know, when it attacked RFK, it was trying to slim down a little bit, the parasite, right? Because it didn't need that many brains. When it went to Congress, it probably starved to death. So the one that's out there now is probably a new one. So, anyhow, you know, and the parasite would probably perish in the president's skull due to lack of no food. Too soon? Too soon?
I'm leaving that right there.
Hey, mic drop. Here's the deal, okay? If someone doesn't like my Biden jokes, I'll make fun of Trump too. I don't care. So.
Yeah, I don't like either one.
Yeah, you know, I wish we had a different, but anyhow. AI has come up with its perceived images of different regions of the U.S. It was surprisingly close in most cases. Alabama had a rather disheveled man with a couple of teeth missing. Wisconsin has a typical cheesehead complete with a beer in hand and cheese in the other. Arizona was a well-aged individual. And Kansas City was a picture of crime tape. Wah, 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 wah. Okay. Yeah, okay.
You're being brutal tonight, buddy.
I'm trying. Remember on...
You're a little excited.
Yeah, remember the first third on the last one, and you said you're on a roll? I said, wait till the next one. Well, we're at the next one. Like I said, it was remarkably close. My favorite was Georgia, and it had a rather southern-looking gentleman sitting on a chair eating a peach off a peach tree. It was cool. It was just some guy, and he was on a chair underneath a peach tree eating a peach. And this is what AI thinks everybody in Georgia generally does. So, so my question of the day, Rob, is this right here. If there's a hell no and a heavens yes, why isn't there a purgatory maybe? I think we're getting ripped off.
We are getting ripped off on. I never thought that's a good point.
It should be a purgatory maybe there to leave people in suspense and hanging. So, just saying, case in point.
Just saying.
Yeah. Yep. Over and out. So, I've had multiple emails about a live stream or a download of goat noises. I have decided, since the Civil War, I'm serious, Rob, people caught on to this goat noises thing, and they're sending fucking emails about it. And I'm having trouble sorting through all of them and getting to the real stuff. So, man, our assholes are good. They're on it, I swear. Yeah. So, anyhow, so they want a live stream or a download of goat noises. So I've decided, since the Civil War enactment has been canceled in Montrose, Missouri, very sadly, on account of the very rare EF-1000 with 1,000-mile-an-hour winds that destroyed the town's only grain bin, the 10 best Civil War costumes of guests that show up on Douchebag Day in Montrose will receive a free 10-hour download of the much-loved goat noises with the occasional duck in the background. Don't you think that's fair? So,
yeah, that'd be fair.
Yeah, yeah. In addition to the download, we were granted special permission from Chet to run a three-way cord so you can use a couple of the electric items in your camping spot. We care at Douchebag Central. What can we say? What can we say?
Cool.
Yep. So, Rob, I turn to you once again to make this program legible. Have at it.
Yeah, good luck with that.
No such luck, huh?
If you decide to go to one of the allegedly most haunted cemeteries in Missouri and dare to ask a question, don't be shocked if something answers. That's exactly what happened recently to some ghost hunters who got more than they bargained for trying to summon a cemetery ghost in Missouri.
Hmm.
Just so everybody knows, this is on TikTok.
Okay.
It goes on to say, before I share the video from Colin Tate from TikTok, a few very important disclaimers. I have had personal experiences with the forces of darkness, and it's something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. Laugh if you want, but evil is very real and wants to destroy you. The good news is, ultimately, they lose, and that's a topic for a different day.
Okay.
With all that being said, there's an app that Colin Tate used in a Missouri cemetery that many believe is haunted. It's called Spirit Talker, and it's available for Android and Apple phones.
I've seen that.
They place their phone with this app active on a grave of a girl named Laura and try to summon her. And then it says, this is what happened, and it goes into the video. Let this be a teachable moment for us all. If you go ask evil a question, something will possibly answer, but it's not really a girl named Laura. It's something much more sinister.
Okay.
I have no doubt that Cole and Tate were not seeking evil, but having some investigative fun in a Missouri cemetery. However, you need to understand the forces you're really dealing with if you choose to go ghost hunting.
Wow.
That's the point.
Okay.
If you're going to go ghost hunting, you better be... make sure you're ready for what happens.
Yes.
You never know. You never know.
Well, okay, I got one for you, Rob. Do you know what a divot box is or a spirit box?
Yes. Yes, I do.
People have been comparing that app to a spirit box or a divot box. They say it's evil, and it invites evil into wherever you're at, and that it could evil can get into you. There's a lot of people that are very much opposed to this app. They say it is a an electronic version of a divot box or a spirit box. Have you heard that?
No, I have not heard that.
Yes, they're saying that this thing is kind of like an Ouija board or something. You know, a divot box,
right.
They say stay the hell away from, you know, because you don't bother the dead, right? You know, you leave them alone.
Right.
Okay. They say that a divot box disturbs them, and then, you know, they might get angry and enter your body or the house or something like that. That's what people are saying about this app. Very interesting. Look it up out there if you want to, and Rob, you can look it up personally. But it's just something
right.
to think about, okay? I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm just saying that that is out there. So, we're way late for our first break, so let's go ahead and take it, and we'll come right back.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I got a Tony Iommi / Eddie Van Halen story that's really interesting.
All right, cool.
All right, we'll be right back.
Two Douchebags, a Microphone, in an effort to keep everything fresh, we offer you first world problems.
I can't believe the coffee grinders broke at the big box store. There's no way I can be expected to grind my coffee beans every damn morning.
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
The wild violet is an unsung hero. Most people don't realize that the flower can be stewed to make a delicious vinegar for the fresh greens that can be picked in your front yard. Violet soap can be easily made as well. The flower is full of many essential minerals as well as vitamin A, C, and E. It is literally one of the first superfoods.
Brick Shithouse Energy Drink. That's right. Brick Shithouse Energy Drink. Make that a little girl. Chew off your balls. You want to fuck shit up? You want to fall asleep across America? Brick Shithouse is for you.
Please enjoy Brick Shithouse Energy Drink responsibly. It's not readily available anywhere because of liability issues.
Please remember to go to Cole's dressing room, wait 5 minutes, and scream, "Hey, there's no toilet paper in here!"
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of...
The origin of the hamburger bun. The family of Oscar Willoughby claims the first known hamburger on a bun was served on July 4th, 1891 on Grandpa Oscar's farm. The bun was reportedly a yeast bun.
Oh shit. What's that over there?
Oh no. It's this island of horrible jokes.
Ugh. I can't take my dog to the lake. The ducks keep attacking him. That's what I get for having a purebred dog.
Next up, things overheard in hell. Things overheard in hell.
William Hung's great tour has been extended. William Hung's world tour has been extended.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
If at first you don't succeed, maybe you shouldn't try skydiving. Just a thought.
Your mom is so ugly, her portraits hang themselves.
Welcome back to Two Douchebags and Microphone. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
Oh, Rob, really quick. I'm getting ready to go into this Tony Iommi / Eddie Van Halen story. But I just wanted to tell you, have you been listening to 101 The Fox online?
No, I have not. Not recently.
They're doing the top 500 for Memorial Weekend.
Oh, okay.
Remember, yeah, like,
they
normally
do that every year.
Oh, they do? Okay, I didn't know that. KY used to do it all the time. That's why I mentioned it. It was like, wow, okay. I didn't know they did it. They did it since then. So, okay.
I'm pretty sure I used to listen to it.
Okay. No, you're
maybe
probably...
Maybe it was KY, huh?
Well, it doesn't matter. I just thought I'd mention that to you. So, okay. In a recent interview with Eddie Trunk, Tony Iommi confirmed that there is indeed a recording of him and Eddie Van Halen playing Black Sabbath songs together. Now, this, I think you're into music, Rob. This has been rumored for a long time, right? People say, yeah, you know, but they didn't know if there was a recording or not. Well, people have been saying that there was definitely a recording. Eddie Trunk asked Tony Iommi, who came on a show midweek last week, maybe Wednesday or something, and he asked him, he said, does this exist? Tony Iommi said, yes, it was recorded. And his assistant, his guitar tech, who was his assistant, that was going through all the tapes, he passed away last year. And nobody's going through the tapes right now because he has boxes of thousands of riffs of tapes and CDs, okay? And it's in there somewhere, but he doesn't know where. And he hasn't had time to look through it to find it. But he said that there is a actual recording of him and Eddie Van Halen playing Black Sabbath songs. And that would be phenomenal, wouldn't it?
Yes, that would be.
Yeah, you know, so anyhow, I'll go ahead with this article here. This has been rumored of happening for years now, and now we know it exists. So how can we listen to it? Hopefully one day Iommi can locate it in his boxes and boxes of music and riffs and rare one-off recordings such as that. He is slowly going through all the material, and he's talking about maybe getting another assistant or something to help him. I hope he does, because I would like to see this sooner than later. I would love that. Can you imagine Eddie Van Halen just improvising his shit on how brilliant it was on Black Sabbath riffs? It would be amazeballs stuff. He also said that his good friend Jimmy Page also had some riffs in storage too that had never been released. Wow. Hopefully one day for both of those to be released. That's all we can do. Because I would love to hear Jimmy Page's box of riffs. For a long time now, Tony Iommi is supposed to put together an album with Brian May of Queen of nothing but riffs and how to play them. Him and Brian May were going to like describe some of their favorite riffs and ones you haven't heard before and put it on, I don't know, a double CD or something. And did you ever hear about that, Rob?
No, I didn't.
Okay. They were supposed to do this for quite a while now. It was actually supposed to come out about 10 years ago, and I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if they scrapped it. I haven't heard anything about it in a long time. But him and Brian May were putting together a double CD, if you will, or whatever, download, or whatever you want, and it's going to be a lot of music. It's a lot of riffs that Tony Iommi came up with and Brian May came up with, and simple instructions on how to play them. So it's going to be like a music aid, but with some really cool riffs you never heard before. So we can only hope that all the three we just discussed come out sometime, and hopefully it isn't too much longer, and hopefully, you know, Iommi isn't getting any younger, or, you know, Brian May isn't. Hopefully it comes out before anything happens to either one of them. Because one thing that Tony Iommi did mention to Eddie Trunk is, Eddie Trunk asked about his health, and he said his health actually wasn't that good here lately. He had to go to see a cardiologist about his heart. So I hope that was nothing, because we like Tony Iommi being around, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, he's in his mid...
He is a master of his craft.
I mean, I was quite taken back at that article I said, couple of podcasts ago about Ozzy, who's worked with the greatest guitarists ever on a regular basis. He found him, whatever, you know, Sharon found him, whoever. He just worked with some of the best ever. And he said that Tony Iommi was the best guitarist he ever worked with. That's quite an honor when you look at Randy Rhoads, Jakey Lee, Zakk Wylde, Joe Holmes, Gus G, Brad Gillis. There's more that I'm not even thinking to. He was going to work with Michael Schenker. He wanted
Jeff
to.
Beck.
Jeff Eric Beck. Clapton. Eric Clapton, yes. Thank you, Rob. Yeah, so that right there, I don't need to say any more. So that guy right there, that guy that had all these musicians work with him, he said Tony Iommi was the best. There you go. So
that's an honor.
It's an honor. All right. Anyhow, Rob, we turn to you.
Okay. This is garage sale season, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Back to recording. Okay. Okay, go ahead. It went back to recording. I'm sorry.
Okay. Since it's garage sale season, here's a little list of five things you should never sell in garage sales. And some of this is no-brainers. Just saying.
Okay.
But just to remind everybody. Upholstered furniture. Wood frame furniture or metal dining chairs often will sell if it's in good condition. But if you're trying to dump a ratty old fabric sofa, good luck. First off, it's likely heavy to move, and secondly, anything that's got stains, holes, or is just completely out of date is probably better off in the dump.
Yep. Agreed.
So don't even waste your time with fabric furniture. It's probably not going to sell.
Yep.
Now, you can try, but good luck. Next, old TVs.
Okay.
Seriously, does anyone really have a need for an old TV set anymore? Probably not.
No.
You can't even donate those things anymore to Goodwill, which is a bad sign that they'll likely not sell anywhere.
I agree. Man, you know, it has changed so much. Remember how much value used to be on a TV?
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, there used to be TV repair shops.
Yeah, they used to be a very valuable appliance or instrument or whatever you want to call it. It used to be like the big focal point of every family, you know. And like you said, they had television repair shops, the old Zenith. The Zenith was like a console that you could put stuff on top of it. And like now, you could see a free TV by the side of the road and go, I don't want that. Where am I going to put it? I got five. Right?
Right. Right. And also, the times have changed where anymore, people just, I need a TV, let's go buy a new one.
Yeah, exactly. It's very disposable anymore, yeah. And they're a lot cheaper than they used to be.
Okay. Next, collectibles, vintage jewelry, dishes, or designer clothes. Hear us out on this. You may possibly get much more money for these items if you get them appraised or go through a consignment store. Don't sell yourself short just to get rid of stuff. You may be able to find an appraiser through the International Society of Appraisers.
That's a good thought. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, instead of throwing a ring out there and marketing it for $2, you know, I think it could be like worth $400 or $500. You never know.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Well, just people just clean stuff out. You know, it's just out of garage sale, and they grab everything and throw it in, you know.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And they'll go, oh, hang on, I got this in the corner.
Kind of picky. If not, you're doing a lot of work for nothing.
True.
Okay, next. Anything recalled? Be especially careful with things like children's items, which often see a whole host of recalls. it's actually illegal to resell a recalled item per the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act of 2008. You may even risk being fined.
Okay.
That's, I did not know it was illegal.
I had no idea about that, honestly. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next, old electronics. Old landline phones, VCRs, fax machines. If you don't have a use for something obsolete, why would somebody else? Instead of sending these items to the landfill, look into finding an electronics recycling program near you.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the item, your local Best Buy may also take it for recycling.
Yeah.
You know, like old computers, whatever, you know.
Yeah, and another one, I think most people know this, but you take your hard drive out. Make sure and take your hard drive out, because it's always connected to bank accounts and stuff like that. So I think everyone knows this, but just in case you don't, you take it to be disposed of, an electronic disposal, wherever. Make sure and have your hard drive out of there. I have a stack of about 30 of them. I don't know what to do with, honestly. So, anyhow, someone said you have to open them up and take out the disc and scratch the disc up to where no one can read it. That sound probably. Yeah, well, who knows? I would think it would work. That's what I've always heard is you find the disc inside there, you scratch the piss out of it to where it's unreadable, and then no one can get your numbers. So, anyhow, go ahead, Rob.
So it'd be like an old vinyl record.
Yeah, the same idea. You scratch up a vinyl record, it's not playing anything.
Yeah, you ain't gonna hear that.
Yeah, okay. Stuff you never think about, right?
Right.
Anyhow, go ahead.
Oh, that was all on that one.
Oh, that was it? Okay. That's a good article. That's extremely informative. Because...
Well, like I said, being garage sale season, I figured it was good timing.
Yeah. Yep. All right, cool. Google AI has failed on several occasions, and people are getting frustrated with it. And I'll give you some examples. It's an odd situation since Google has been testing AI overviews for over a year now. The feature launched in beta in May of 2023 as a search generative experiment. And CEO Sundar Pichai had said that the company served over a billion queries in that time. But Pichai has also said that Google's brought the cost of delivering AI answers down by 80% over that same time. Driven by hardware engineering and technical breakthroughs, it appears that kind of optimization might have happened too early because the tech was ready. A company once known for being at the cutting edge and shipping high quality stuff is now known for low quality output that's getting memed. One AI founder, which wished to remain anonymous, told The Verge, Google continues to say that its AI overview product largely outputs high-quality information to users. Many of the examples were seen and have been uncommon queries, and we've also seen examples of that were doctored or that we couldn't reproduce. Google spokesperson Megan Farnsworth said in an email to The Verge, Farnsworth also confirmed that the company has taken swift action to remove AI overviews on certain queries. Where appropriate, under our content policies and using these examples to develop broader improvements to our systems, some of which have already been started to roll out is what she claims. So basically she's saying that all this stuff is better now, but who knows. Social media is abuzz with examples of Google's new AI overview product saying weird stuff, from telling users to put glue on their pizza to suggesting that they eat rocks. This messy rollout means Google is racing to manually disable AI overviews for specific searches and various memes got posted, which is why users are seeing so many of these disappear shortly after posting to social networks. So, anyhow, and I've seen some other really bad examples of that too, besides putting glue on your pizza and eating rocks and stuff like that. One AI instructed someone to piss on himself, and it would help him with his arthritis, I think, or something like that. Another one told him
We tell people that.
I know. I mean, we don't need AI for that. Another one told a guy to gouge his eyes out, and he would be able to hear better. So, there's all these examples. You can go to Reddit, and I think all you have to type in is Google AI fails, and there's like a list of thousands of them on there. And
they do say if you lose a sense, then your other senses get stronger.
Maybe that's what it meant. maybe the AI was right on that example. Hey, you know what? No one's saying anything about whether, you know, about being blind or nothing. They're just talking about being able to hear better. So there you go.
Right.
Yeah, the AI chatbot was right. So there, let's back off of them. So anyhow, Rob, we turn to you for another story, please.
Okay, I got you a little American Songwriter, buddy.
Aw, you love me, Rob. You love me.
Yes, I do.
All right.
This is four of the most underrated classic rock singers of all time.
Oh, okay.
And what this is, it's just four of them, and they're not in any certain order, because as a first part, I'm going to skip the little reading thing above, but it does say that if they tried to fit every underrated classic rock singer, the list would go on forever. So they just broke it down into four.
Okay.
The first one, Burton Cummings. Burton Cummings is one of the greatest rock singers to come out of the Great White North. This Canadian singer is best known for leading the Guess Who during the late 1960s and early 70s. His solo career has also been quite successful. However, he often gets overlooked for his incredible contributions to classic rock.
Cool.
Okay, the second one. Steve Marriott. The late great Steve Marriott is known for his killer voice and guitar playing skills. He was part of the bands Small Faces and Humble Pie, and his lengthy career was honored via induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame back in 2012,
cool.
But only as a member of Small Faces.
I remember that.
Deserves, do what?
I remember that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We think he deserves more credit for his voice and influence over rock stars who rose in bell since his untimely passing in 1991. Even Ozzy Osbourne said that Marriott was one of the greatest singers of all time.
I can believe that. I can believe that. Ozzy and all of Sabbath's, I don't know about Dio, but all of Sabbath's idols were actually like the Beatles. They grew up, you know, listening to Beatles and stuff like that. So I could definitely see how Ozzy would think that he was one of the best singers ever. So,
yeah. Okay, and third, Klaus Meine.
Really, the Scorpions?
Yes. I figured that'd be a shocker for you.
He does have a great voice, but I didn't think that they would register him that high. Okay, all right. Go ahead, Rob.
Some would say that the German rocker is less of a classic rock musician and more of a hard rock metal vocalist. We'd agree, but he's still worthy of a place on this list. Klaus is best known as the singer and lyricist of Scorpions. He's appeared on every one of the band's albums, and he's always on lists of the best rock vocalists of all times. That being said, we think he deserves more credit for making Scorpions as big as they were and for his unique voice.
Hmm.
I thought that one was interesting.
I did too. I just didn't think that this outfit would think like that. You know, you hardly ever hear anyone of that hard rock genre being on the best of any singer, you know. But very cool. I mean, he's a great singer, so yeah.
Well, in my opinion, he does have a one-of-a-kind voice, in my opinion.
Well, you can hear him sing anything, and you'll know it's him. Very distinct.
Yeah.
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 Okay. I have no problems with
okay.
that.
Okay, and finally, Eric Burdon. Eric Burdon is best known as the vocalist of the classic rock band The Animals.
Oh, okay.
As well as the funk outfit, War. He was a cornerstone figure during the British invasion and is widely considered one of the era's most unique voices. It's crazy to think that not many people know his name. He's definitely an underrated classic rock singer.
Okay. I have no problems with that either, you?
No, I don't either. I think this is a pretty solid list here.
It's very unique. They went ways I didn't think they would. Huh. Okay, very cool. Thank you, Rob. We're way late for our second break, so let's go ahead and take that, and we'll be right back. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm saying when it comes to thinking, you have bad luck.
All aware of the Amber Alert, right? Well, get rid of your disinfectants and rubber bedspreads, kids. It's the all-new Amber Herd Alert System. This fantastic early warning device helps one stay dry and rid of all those annoying mattress invoices. Simply hook up to child under 6 or psychopath and wait for the running water sound. This clever machine has 3 distinct settings: Babbling Brook, Ocean Waves, and Roaring River for those close calls. Order today and get a free Cinnabon Renews-It cartridge.
Introducing Rob Rad's new book, How to Track Your Enemy by Scent. That's right, smell your enemy before they get you. Order this gem now and get a free virtual tour of Rob's secret bunker in Camdenton, Missouri. Also receive a free copy of his new book, How to Clean Raw Sewage for Food.
Now it's time for Pickup Lines from a Loser.
If you were a fruit, you would be a fine apple.
Now, from the makers of the Who Bit My Asshole board game comes the Rob Rad Jigsaw Puzzle. That's right, put Rob back together. This brilliant glossy photo of Rob wearing a loincloth in a rainforest is the perfect stocking stuffer. Order now and get a free butt plug keychain.
You need protection from fucktards? You have people coming and fucking with you constantly? You need answers? You need solutions?
Smack in the nuts!
That's right! Smack in the nuts is what you need! Smack in the nuts, get rid of said losers in no time flat!
Smack in the nuts!
Available everywhere wherever you buy self-defense items.
Here are just a few testimonials from some satisfied customers.
Stupid fatsack come to me. He talk stupid. He no let me go. Smell like sack of shit. He spit talk all over. I remember smacking balls. I use shit sack. Shit sack lie on ground. I walk off. Thank you, smacking the balls. You saved me from smelly, smelly spit.
Well, I had this stupid son of a bitch come around me. He would not shut his fucking yapper for nothing. He gets up on me and he talks all stupid. and I didn't know what to do. I could not shake this motherfucker like a booger. Then I remember smacking the nuts. I pulled out old smacking the nuts, and that motherfucker went down like a sack of fucking potatoes. Thank you, smacking the nuts. You saved me once again from stupid motherfuckers. Smacking the nuts. Don't leave home without it.
Oh shit. What's that over there? Oh no. It's the island of horrible jokes.
What do you call a bundle of hay in church? Christian Bale.
Welcome back to Douchebags and a Microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
Got a little article here. It probably might upset some people. Other people will be like, right on. But like I said before, give me something about Trump and I'll make fun of it. Send me in something. I'll make fun of it. But President Joe Biden is known for his blunders and colorful turns to his staffers, and his staffers are like running around backstage trying to correct him from what he's saying constantly. And one of them, according to this, put out a list of some of his biggest blunders that he's done, what they believe is. So one was when Biden recalled being vice president during the pandemic, saying Barack, meaning former President Barack Obama, told him to go to Detroit and help fix it. But Biden was running for president during the pandemic, and Obama had been out of the office for 3 years. So obviously, he made that shit up, right?
Right.
And he couldn't even think, oh, wait a minute, Obama hadn't been in office for that long. So he just, he came up with that shit out of his ass, supposedly. Okay. And then the next one was, when I was vice president, things were kind of bad during the pandemic. He was never vice president during the pandemic. He was either in Congress or he was president. The first part of the pandemic, right, he was in Congress, and then later on, he became president. So,
right.
So, let's see. Biden spoke about the January 6th Capitol riot, describing the people who stormed the Capitol as erectionists instead of insurrectionists. Erectionists. His staffers have a big list, and they're probably about 40 long. And this is supposedly from his staffers. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. Someone put a false label on it or whatever. But I do know that the ones that I just read are true, because I looked them up on YouTube and they exist. But you can like put it in your search, Google or Bing or whatever, and put in staffer's list of president's blunders or something like that, and you'll get like 30 of the top ones. But that was just a small little sample size of the stuff. And like I said, I'm not picking a side here or nothing like that. All I'm simply doing is telling you what his staffers supposedly think were his worst blunders, because Biden does have a hard time communicating and talking. Can we all agree with that?
Yes.
Whether you think the guy's doing a fantastic job or hate his guts or don't have an opinion, I think we can all agree that he is not the best fluid speaker ever, or even close. So, anyhow, there you go. Rob, you got something?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I want to talk about the New Madrid Vault.
Ooh, yeah.
Down in the Boot Hill.
Runs all the way.
I want to give our friends down there a shout out.
It runs almost parallel with I-44, doesn't it, I think?
It runs all over. Okay. Down, what is that, 55?
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah,
55 goes down towards Memphis.
It's more over towards the state line, goes down into northern Arkansas, where the Boot Hill goes in. The New Madrid Fault began 2024 rather quietly, but has made up for lost time as the month of May has seen 33 quakes already shake southern Missouri, including the biggest earthquake of the year so far. The USGS has quite a database of earthquakes that have been felt in May in southern Missouri and northern Arkansas. I queried the records and asked for a map that shows all the New Madrid quakes of all the magnitudes that have been felt in May of 2024. It revealed a grand total of 33 quakes in the month of May.
Wow.
The biggest Missouri quake of May 2024 by far was the shaker that happened in the morning hours of May 16th, registering at 3.8 on the Richter scale, and was felt by several hundred people in southern Missouri. While there's no way at this point to forecast future earthquakes, it's believed the release of energy along fault lines could actually relieve pressure building up on these pressure points on these earthquake faults.
Uh-huh.
The USGS does say that the New Madrid is capable of a 7.7 magnitude quake at some point in the future. The experts say there's a 10% chance the New Madrid Fault will have a major quake of above 7.0 magnitude in the next 50 years.
Well, this is a famous earthquake that made the Mississippi run backwards for, what, 4 days?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
What they're saying is all these little quakes you're having is a good thing. It's taking some of the pressure off keeping us from having the big one.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about the New Madrid fault line is this. Memphis would be practically destroyed. St. Louis would be half destroyed. Kansas City would get a lot of damage. Springfield would get a lot of damage. Tulsa would get a lot of damage. They say that if this happened, there's some major metropolitan areas that would be severely affected by this. That is what the deal is with this fault line, along with the Mississippi River and all points in between. You there, Rob, you there in Camdenton would probably get probably a lot of rubble and cracks and stuff like that from where you're at, right?
Well, here's the thing. They're a little concerned about the Bagnell Dam.
Oh, I never even thought about that. That could, like, just compromise it.
Yeah. That thing cracks, and we lose the whole lake, and everything downriver gets flooded.
Oh, my God. There's so much water in the Lake of the Ozarks.
There's homes. There's people that live down below there.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have any indication that it was happening, probably not when it happens, and they'd be instantaneously drowned, all of them. I mean, that, yeah.
It would turn this place back into a river, the way it originally started.
Yeah, it would. You're right. Wow. Okay. Well, let's hope that they keep having little 2.0s for quite a while, and maybe it will take enough pressure off, and this won't happen for a long time. But, of course, it will probably eventually happen, right?
Well, yeah, eventually. But, yeah, I'm just throwing that out there for our friends down in that area, our listeners.
Yeah.
I want you to know we think about you, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. The whole thing is this right here. There's nothing you're going to do about it, so don't worry. If it happens, you probably won't even know it happened. Get what I'm saying? There you go. All righty, everybody, thank you for joining us. Hi, Opal. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Ricky.
Hi. Grandma. Hi, Jenny. Hi, Ricky.
Dodge City, Kansas. Rah, rah, rah. Love you guys. Have a good night. Everybody, assholes, thank you for listening. Bye.
Good night, assholes.